We're back tonight to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So we've tried real hard the last number of years to try as much as we're able to do it to make you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ as to the deep mysteries of God. And these are not given to everyone. We wonder why the mysteries are not just preached everywhere, but Jesus said they're not given to everyone. Having been right with his disciples and ministered to them and having told them about the wonderful hidden secrets of God, they ask, why is it that you speak to these that are without in parables? And Jesus said, for it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He said, unto you it is given. I want you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He said, but unto them that are without, they just hear the gospel. The gospel goes into all the world for a witness. Then shall the end come. But it is not given unto them to understand the mysteries of God. But unto you it is given to understand the mysteries of God. This is why people think sometimes that you're so peculiar. They think you're so peculiar. Your doctrine is so strange. Like they asked Jesus one time, they said, who gave you the authority to go around preaching like this? You know, that is the Sanhedrin was saying, we didn't give you any license to do this. Where did you get your license from? And Jesus said, well, he said, I'll ask you a question. And said, if you can answer me, then I'll answer you. And he said, the baptism of John, was it of man or of God? And the Bible says they reasoned within themselves that they were afraid to say it was of man because everybody esteemed John to be a prophet and they was afraid the people would stone them. And they were afraid to say that it was of God because Jesus would ask them, why then did you not receive it? Knowing that John had spoken of his coming. So they said, we can't tell you. He said, neither do I tell you, but what authority I do these things. And so then we have an authority that comes from God, and we're licensed of God, and we're commissioned of God. And that is, as Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of God, and we go about to preach the wonderful glad tidings of great joy, and that is that a Savior has risen from the dead, and he is our Savior. And that the world knows nothing of these things, and the Bible said that they shall not understand the mysteries, for they shall not understand when the good cometh. For Lucifer, even Satan, the god of this world, the god of the flesh, has blinded their eyes that they cannot see, even their eyes of understanding that they cannot see when good cometh. And so then we preach on the wonderful glad tidings of great joy, this wonderful Jesus that we know and love so much, who tells us the way. Having given unto us this wonderful mystery of Christ, we're so grateful. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, you can read in the book of Revelation here, it says, in the beginning of it, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I say so often that when you come to these things as to the mysteries, then the revelation means that the time is at hand. It was shortly after Calvary that Paul confessed that he had the revelation of Jesus Christ, because the revelation of Jesus Christ had not been given until Calvary, because the revelation of Jesus Christ was the revealing of the Christ as to the rent veil, that the ark of the testimony might be seen. We read to you this morning, maybe I couldn't detail that too much because it would have taken a lot of time, but we read to you from the 15th chapter of the book of Revelation concerning these things. Was it the 15th or the 16th chapter? It was about three chapters that we read there, I believe. We read these things to you concerning the temple in the 5th verse of the 15th chapter. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And we brought out concerning the temple, concerning the tabernacle, and concerning the testimony as to what it had to do with. And we didn't have time to elaborate on it, but we did make mention of these things. Sister Betty was telling me today, she said, you know, it's a strange thing, but out of all the times I've ever heard you elaborate concerning this, I've never understood what the temple was as to the temple of the testimony. She said, but this morning, said, I understood what you were saying. Well, we brought out some things concerning it before. We approached it just a little bit different this morning, and we said some things that we have repeated before, but this particular thing was just trying to hit it kind of light, is to give you some idea to where you'd have a reference. You have to have a point of reference if you're going to understand the mysteries of godliness. And just as the Spirit gives them to us, and we try to give you those points of references to where you can understand what is happening. Let's read again chapter 10, beginning of the first verse. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, if you'll notice that when we read this, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, there's a significance when it says come down from heaven. Said he was clothed with a cloud. There's a spiritual significance of the clothing of the cloud. And a rainbow was about his head. And there's a spiritual significance of the rainbow about his head. And his face were as it were the sun. There is a spiritual significance in his face being as the sun. And his feet as pillars of fire. And there's a spiritual significance in his feet being as pillars of fire. And he had his had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And all this has spiritual significance. Every one of these things has a spiritual understanding as to a revelation. And the Bible said when you come together, have a revelation, have a doctrine, have a psalm, you know, have a praise for God, but also have a revelation. Let everything be done decently and in order. And according to the Bible, this is what God calls the order of the church, is when you come together and you have a revelation. All right, so it says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered the voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered the voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. All right, now, what did we read here? It said, and in the days of the voice, but in the days of the voice. Now, this indicates that there is a voice, and there is a day for this voice. It says the voice, whereas it speaks of the trumpets. Notice now, Revelation 8, it said, concerning the silence, and then seven angels with seven trumpets. But in the sounding of the trumpet obviously was a voice. See, everything having a spiritual significance, we find here that the trumpet has a significance. And what is the significance of it? It is a voice, whereas the Bible uses the terms in the trump of God, which is the voice of Jesus, of course. So then every voice is a trump. And it says here, these seven voices, or these seven trumpets, what makes us to know that it's voices? It says right here, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And the seventh angel is the one that has the trumpet. Now, I pointed this out to you a number of times before, trying to make you to understand to where we wouldn't misconstrue things. And it says here, the seven trumpets had uttered their voices. When they had uttered their voices, John said, I was going to write it down. You remember Philip? Philip went close to a eunuch, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I understand if I have no man to teach me? So Philip expounded the scripture. So God always sends his spirit to expound the scriptures. When the seven thunders had uttered the voices, we say, seven thunders. Now, these trumpets are sounding as seven trumpets, And then the seven thunders, it said, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices. So it's very obvious that even these thunders were voices. And it was seven voices from the seven thunders. And the trumpets were also voices, because it shows right here, it said, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And the seventh angel is the last angel of the seven that was given a trumpet. And then I pointed out to you that when these trumpets had sounded, the different things that took place, we told you how that as they sounded, when the fifth angel sounded, a star fell from heaven and under the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And we went on and spoke about when the sixth angel had sounded, they loosed the four angels which was bound in the great river Euphrates. And each time that one of these things sounded, it brought forth a great outstanding thing in the earth. So then we come right down to the last one. And then there came a breach between the sixth and the seventh. And this angel came forth. And this angel stood on the land and on the sea. And then we brought out to you that the last three of the seven had to do with the three woes. The Bible speaks of the three woes of the tribulation period, which is recorded in the book of Revelation. And that this had to do with woe, woe, woe. The angel flew through heaven saying, woe, woe, woe unto them that are on the earth, for Satan is among you. And we see here that the last was woe, woe, woe. So between the second and the third woe, there came a breach, and this great angel, who was so great and mighty and tall, he reached all the way from the earth up into the heavens. His head was up in the heavens, and there was a rainbow about his head, and his feet extended all the way down to the earth. I never heard of so great an angel, never so great an angel that filled heaven and earth. But his feet come all the way down to the earth, and he had a foot on the earth, and he had a foot on the sea. And he stood there, and he had a little book in his hand. And the Bible said, while he had this little book in his hand, that it was said to him, give me the little book. Because the voice had said, go take the book from the angel's hand. And he said, give me the little book. Said the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, who was this? This has to do with Calvary. No one has ever been as great as Jesus. And what he did at Calvary and lifting up his hands to heaven, saying that time should be no longer, or that this is the fullness of time, or that time is finished, he reached all the way from earth up to heaven. And the rainbow that you saw about his head is reckoned for as the same thing when you look over there where he's sitting on the throne. And the Bible said as he sit upon the throne, there was a rainbow round about his head, which indicated that the knowledge and understanding in the mind of this body of the Lord Jesus reached all the way up into heaven, even to the throne itself, that his mind was the mind that was in control of the throne itself. And the rainbow, which represented the church ages as to the seven spirits of God and the seven angelic messengers as to that refracted light that came from that pyramid that we spoke of, this rainbow was about his head because it all emanated from him, even the capstone. So we see this great marvelous thing of the Lord standing, as we say, one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, which indicates that with this, that he is both in the spirit and in the natural. He made of himself twain. All these things are symbolic, and they're naturally symbolic of something spiritual, and that's what this has to do with. His feet, as to the preparation of the gospel. The Bible said, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and that the feet is noted as to the soul, that which the serpent strikes at, then we see that this thing was symbolic. So then we find that the mysteries of God are finished in Revelation 10 and 7. It says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And of course, it is the voice. It is the last of those seven voices. It is the third woe. And this angel sounding isn't going to bring joy and peace and gladness to the earth, because he is one of the angels that the Bible said will bring the woes into the earth. One woe cometh, and then another woe cometh. As the Bible said, woe unto them that forget the Lord, for he'll tear them into pieces. And so the woes is coming. John speaks of the earthquakes and the buildings falling to the ground and all these horrible, hideous things taking place. So the woes are on their way. They're coming. And the king of the north is on his way to bring the woes. So then we find that last voice is a woe. It's going to be a terrible, terrible thing. When looking at the woe, someone will say, what do you mean a woe, Brother Pike? Well, all we got to do is back up here a little bit. And it says here, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power. The scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Remember the seal of God in the forehead? Go back there to Revelation 7, take 6 and 7 and read it, and you'll find out 144,000 were sealed. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh the man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battles, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lion. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there was sting in their tails, and they had power, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more. So that's what a woe is. That's a woe. And then this next woe comes, it says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which is bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses, whereas the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of the mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. And that is the second woe. Now I'm reading quite a bit fast because that's the only way I can get through these things. It takes so long to say so little, and people are so impatient that they don't give you but just a little time to say what you got to say, and their spirits are gone. So I have to rush through it like a horse racing. All right, so then we see that's two woes. And then the last woe was the woe of him that was to finish the mysteries. The third woe, which is the seventh angel. So 5, 6, and 7, that is the woes. And they are voices. And it says here that when this last voice, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And then the question arises a lot of times, when and where is this voice to sound? How do I know about this voice? When is this voice going to sound? Who is it going to be? And will I know anything about it? Of course you will. And when will it sound? Will we know when it's going to sound? Or Or will God let us know what is to be done about this seventh angel? It's very simple, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, it says when he begins to sound, and then it goes right on from Revelation 10 to Revelation 11 and 11:15, and it says, and the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hath reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns was upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, and there she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast down into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seed and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in earth. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sail, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount of Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. All right, of course, these were those that were sealed back over there that we spoke of, but I just want to point out one or two things. It's very obvious that Revelation 12 is referring back to Calvary. Where is the war in heaven, and where the child is caught up? It was Jesus that was caught up. And this has to happen again in this sense, that as the headship was caught up, so shall the members be caught up. And that's why I read to you 144,000 caught up to Mount Zion here as Jesus touches his foot upon Mount Zion. So we see that there's a number of things that would take a long time to explain as to the coming of the Lord Jesus, as to two or three different times where he appears. See, so it is the Lord. There's war in heaven. Satan is overthrown. But if you notice that the casting out of the dragon, though Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, yet though it happened at Calvary, here it is made manifest as to be in a personification right here in the middle of the week. And of course you say, Brother Pike, how do you know it's the middle of the week? Why do you speak so boldly and freely as to say thus and thus when the Bible said if any man add anything unto the revelation here that these plagues would be added unto him, if he take anything away, his name shall be taken out of the book of life and whatever. But see, it's very obvious that when we speak like this, we speak of that which we know by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not to add or to take away, but to reveal what John has said. See, and it's very obvious that this is the middle of the week, the middle of Daniel's last week, 483 years. I told you that this was 483 years. Unto Calvary, and after that it was 7 years left to make an end upon Daniel's people, to bring in everlasting righteousness, that is to say people that cannot sin, and to anoint the most holy, that is to bring in the kingdom of God, as to set Jesus upon the throne over in the millennium, and to bring in the kingdom of God at Calvary. So there is 7 years from the 483 years in this tribulation period. It is called the last week of Daniel because the angels refer to it as 70 weeks. And God gives the prophet a day for a year. You can read it for yourself. And as to determine the judgment upon Israel. So we look and we see that this is the middle of the week. Lucifer is cast out of the middle of the week. Why is he cast out in the middle of the week? Because the man-child is caught up in the middle of the week. So, what is this man-child? It has to do with Israel, the 144,000. See, that is to say, a natural Jew and then the whole house of Israel. Or Jesus being Jacob, his name changed to Israel as to a prince, like from Jesus to the Christ. And then there are the Christians as to Israel, then there are the Israelites. And so then this natural shows Jesus to the whole house of Israel. Oh, that is Jacob coming for his children. Now in this is caught up. For Jesus is caught up at Calvary. His body's caught up at Calvary. And then it becomes a spiritual thing from the 483 over to the 7. It is a heavenly episode. And we find that in this rent veil is from the 483, the 7 on one side, the 483 on another. 483 having to do with the law, and the 7 having to do with the tribulation, and in between having to do with the church ages. So it is the ark of his testament revealed as to the church ages. Oh, that is to say, this great wonderful gospel that we're preaching, all those 7 angels, as to the messengers that they are bringing during the church ages to get the church ready. Because that is his bride, that is the body of the Lord Jesus. And immediately they're caught up to the throne. You're not in this world, I've chosen you into heaven. And so it is a heavenly episode. And this is why we preach to you that you belong in heaven, that you are they that dwell in heaven. That this thing is not walking 10 miles to get to heaven, as we would say, but it is a spiritual transition. And by faith, you are being transformated by mind and translated by spirit. And then the ultimatum will be, as 2 Thessalonians change, as to a transfiguration by body. So then this is a transitional thing. As we preach to you, you hear and then you believe. And when you believe, faith translates you. So then we are preaching you out of Egypt into Canaan. Or we're preaching you from the flesh to the spirit. Or we're preaching you all the way from earth to heaven. Like the man that wrote the song when the boy was about to go to the electric chair and they gave him a chance to have his last request and his friend played the guitar. He said, "Let my guitar playing friend play me back home or sing me back home." See, it is us preaching you back home. We are preaching to you the wonderful word of God, and you're hearing the words as God has laid it out in the full knowledge. And as you move along, transitionally speaking, you are transformating in mind and moving right on into the heavenlies. And when this great expose is finished, then the mysteries of God are finished. Because what the mysteries are is that which was behind the veil. And when the 483 went one way and the 7 years went another way, then the expose come, and that was the revealed mysteries as to Christ, the mind of God within you, the hope of glory. So then we see the beautiful mysteries of God, and we see what God is doing. And we see that from this rent veil comes forth from the throne the seven candlesticks as the messengers of God, or as we say, these wonderful spirits of God, and that the Bible speaks of the seven spirits of God as to that which ministers to mankind. Well, we could go on and on and on saying many things concerning this, but I'm trying to get over a thought. And the thought that I'm trying to get over to you is that we are the children of the rapture. We are the children of the kingdom. We are now beloved sons of God, and we do have eternal life, and we have passed from death unto life. And now we find this thing as to that last 7 years approaching now after the tribulation period, and we've explained to you how that Mr. Bush, as we say, George, that cast out the dragon or overcome the dragon, and now Mr. Bush is in office, and his administration goes right over into the middle of the tribulation calendar wise. So we find that right here at this particular time, something is taking place. The man with the mark comes. And there is the man with the mark. Right at the time that the child is born is the same as the bush, ruling with a rod of iron, the red dragon, as the communism is laying right in there. You remember the round that he had with the Chinese, in that he boycotted the Chinese because of the killing and whatever, the red dragon. See all of this, and remember how Mr. Gorbachev and the Chinese leader tried to get together in this thing called communism. So then everything would take hours and hours, so I just have a hurry and try to say these things so I can get them on tape or get them on film or wherever, get them into your listening ear, because we don't have time to teach these to you. It should take months of every day of the week, at least 5 or 6 hours a day, teaching you every day of the week. It should take that long to be able to teach you these wonderful things. It took Paul 3.5 years to get this understanding constantly, day and night, after that he had spent almost a lifetime studying up to this point to get the groundwork. So you can know that you people are getting but just a fragmental thing. This is all you're getting. Though I say all of these things, and all of these things pass by you. As to what you're getting and what you're retaining is just a tiny fragment, because we don't have time to really give it to you and teach it to you, because you don't have time to hear it. As to one thing. So then, being pressed with the necessities of life, it has passed right on like a shadow, and soon you're gone. You're coming, soon you're gone. One generation, then another generation. But at least I say this to you in the way of trying to get over to you that we should contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God, letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which was a mind that thought it was in heaven, and it thought heavenly, and it spoke heavenly, and it moved heavenly, and it acted heavenly, and it believed that it was equal with God, that it was the body of Almighty God, and that it was one with the Heavenly Father, that it did always the things that pleased the Father, and of course in Christ Jesus, as reckoning his works to be our perfectness. Then we are perfect in the sight of God, having this mind in us, because God is so wrought within his body these works for us. Therefore, the mind within us gives us this credibility. So then, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying, but nevertheless, this is the way it is. Now the tribulation period is moving in. 7 years is moving in on you now. The 7 years is about to come in. Now, with the coming of the 7 years, what happens? It begins the last week of Daniel. It began the last week, over about 3.5 years into that. I read to you where there's war in heaven. And the man child is caught up. That is to say, the members of the body of Jesus is caught up as to the Jewish side of it. Whereas in the Christ side of it, it's already happened here. So then the church is already sealed in. Even where the doors open in heaven and John is called up into the heavens. The others were sealed to go through the tribulation period that the locust couldn't hurt them. Here we see a war in heaven. Michael and the angels fighting. We see a third part of the angels going out. I could bring a typical thing to you in many phases of the gospel to where you'd know a natural thing to see this thing very clearly, but we don't have the time to do this kind of thing. So you say, Brother Pike, how can you so profoundly declare that this is the middle of the week? How do you know it's the middle of the week? It could have been any time. You don't know that it's the middle of the week, but it's very obvious that it is the middle of the week because here it says the war, and then the woman fled into the wilderness. And it said the dragon that was cast out pursued the woman, the beast, pursued the woman. And the Bible said she had a place prepared for times time and half a time. Times time and half a time is 3 years. For times time and a half a time tells us that that is the middle of Daniel's last week. It is 3.5 years that is left. So it is a time, times, and half a time. A time is a year. Times means more than one time. It is times, which means 2 years. And a half a time means 6 months. So it is 3 years and a half. That is time, time, and half a time, which is the middle of the week, and Satan goes out in the middle of the week. So we know that that's the middle of the week when this great conflict takes place, and we know that when he is in the earth, it is said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is among you, and knowing that he hath but a short time. That is, knowing that the powers of consummation are closing in on him, that he's no longer concealed in the spirit, that he can feel the pains and miseries even as humanity feels it. See, Jesus came down as humanity. He was manifest in a human body, and he feels our pain, and he feels our miseries. And the Bible said he's a high priest, can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but not Lucifer. See, but Lucifer is now forced into a human body to where God can bring his wrath upon him and make him feel the pain and the misery to gnaw in his tongue. Even as he has caused others to suffer, so shall he suffer the more. And the Bible said, putting him down into the pit, down to the sides of the pit, that they that are in the pit or in the flame shall look at him and say, how is it that thou art fallen, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How is it that thou art cast down? Hast thou altogether become such a one as we, as they will say, that you are down here and you can't do anything anymore? You that would not release your prisoners, you that was the great power preeminence, and now you've fallen. How art thou fallen, O son of the morning, they will say unto him. So then we see that God says even in the millennium he'll be bound for 1,000 years, cast into the bottomless pit, and the Bible said he shall not be loosed until the 1,000 years is over, and then for a little season. And during this time, the Bible said, and nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountains, saith the Lord. Now, a lot of times we get things misconstrued because I preach that during that time the plague will consume people. And that problems will happen to the nation. And we said, well, we don't understand. He says, in my holy mountain, nothing's going to hurt. And now here you say all these things is happening. And then we say, of course, there's nobody that's going to die during that time. Death will be lifted, be taken away. And then we say, these people are going to be consumed. He said, my, I don't understand this. This is all confusing to me. But the point of differentiation is this. Nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord, as to Jerusalem, as to his place of dwelling, as to you and as to I, as to we. We are the holy mountain of God. Death is lifted from us. Miseries is gone from us. No sorrow and heartaches to us. But those that are without, that still in the earth, that's under our regime and under the constraint of the powers of God, as to the 12 apostles sitting on thrones and as to the Jewish nation that will be ruling them, those people, if they don't come up to to Jerusalem to worship, the Bible teaches they'll have no rain on their crops. And the Bible teaches that if they rebel against God, their eyes will consume away in their sockets. And even as the same thing that happened to their armies when they fought against Israel and the boycotting as to the abomination of desolation, so will it happen to the nations that are left if they go the same way as to the error of their armies. So we can see that there's a great thing here and a lot to be learned and a lot to find out as to know what we're saying and why we're saying it, how that this thing will come about. All right, so we'll slow down just for a minute here as we go to close. You can see a great thing took place when the mysteries of God was finished. The mysteries of God, the seventh angel sounded. When he sounded, what happened? It said there was war in heaven. We published a book on the thunders. Remember, the thunders, war in heaven. We'll be saying more about war in heaven as to what war in heaven is. But it says here that there was no more place found in heaven for the dragon. He and his angels were cast out. Again, that goes back symbolically speaking to Calvary. When Jesus was smitten, it had to do with the head of the serpent. And when the Jews went out, it had to do with the body of the serpent. And they were cast out. There was the end of it. And Christ and the true Jew came in. Where the Bible said they come from the east, they come from the west. They went into the place of the children of the kingdom. The children of the kingdom, as the children under David's kingdom, went out. And there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth as went through the Holocaust and all these things of the dark age. But we, the Bible said, coming from the east and the west, they'll be translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and these have pressed their way against the soul nature of the flesh and against the body of this death and against Satan overcoming. They went right into the kingdom of God by translation through faith. And it was translated by faith that he should not see death. All right. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I look at this and I find that all of a sudden Satan is cut off. All of a sudden he's gone. Why? Because the blood come off the seat of atonement. This is what we've been trying to tell you, and of course we'd have to go into a lot of things to try to explain that. But the blood come off the seat of atonement, and all of a sudden, I said those people that's in heaven, they're not in heaven anymore. I say, and Satan that was in heaven because he could live in humanity, and as long as the blood was on the seat of atonement, the grace of God, the rain was on the just and the unjust, and the grace to the just and the unjust, Jesus having taken away the sins of the world that God could not see them, because Jesus had been smitten for those sin, but when the blood comes off, God will see it as it is. And the Bible said he cannot look upon iniquity, and immediately he'll smite everything. The very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, fine brimstone came down upon it. So that means that will be the expulsion of the casting out of the old dragon, the old beast, the generation of vipers. See, and Satan himself will appear to be personified, just like Jesus himself will appear in his personification, that he might take the church, that is to say Jesus, and Satan might take the beast, his members, as his body. All right, so we see all these things taking place, and the tribulation period is almost upon us, which means when the seven last years come in, then the seven last years will end the 490 years that's determined upon the people, is given 500 years as to the silent ages unto Calvary, and the 7 years will finish as to the last week, and in the midst of that week, you won't be around, but in the midst of that week, that's when Lucifer shall be cast out, and he shall be in the earth. He shall be in the earth. Now, he is right there in the presence of God to the extent he came before God in the days of Job and began to accuse. And Calvary, the accuser of the brethren, was cast out. And thus the man-child was caught up, which means that God will not receive any accusation against you anymore, for now has come strength and power and salvation, because your spirit is now made holy. The evil one toucheth you not. God hears not one accusation against you, and no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. You are now they that dwell in heaven. Said, rejoice forevermore. You don't have to worry anymore, for he's given you all things that pertain unto life. That's your security as of today, because now, beloved, are you the sons of God. See, so The strength and power is already to us, but not to the Jews. See, it's not to the body as of yet. That is to say, being made manifest. So then, as to the catching up, when the 144,000 goes up, then it can be said, and now has come strength and power and salvation. That is to the world, because the Jews will go into power in this natural world, because the redemption of the body will be there, and the manifestation of the sons of God will be there through that millennium government, because 3.5 years before this catching up of the Jews, they were caught up and they were gone at Thessalonians changed there at the first of the week before the tribulation period set in. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'd like to say a lot of other things, but maybe we can take a few of these things that we've said and perhaps enjoy a few of these things that we've said unto you. Let's stand again, Brother Taylor. All right. If I talk a little bit fast, you just have to pray for me. You can see that I've said very few things as to things that you could understand, and yet we've said a lot of things. During the time of these things, we have to, as we serve meat, serve a little bit of milk for the children, for the babes in Christ. And it makes it real difficult, folks, and especially if you've got some people, like Judas is among you, that's going to resent, that's naturally minded, that don't have the Holy Ghost. And every time you cross the wire a little bit, they're going to flop at you. It makes it very difficult, makes it very hard. See, we should be dead to the flesh, and when the preacher's preaching, when he goes to rebuking, we should, instead of having a nature that rises up as to find fault and to come against him in the mind and all these kind of things, and instead of the seed of the scornful, we should be in a position where we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and that Holy Ghost looms out and says, amen, glory to God, get that devil out of here. That should be our respond as reflexes, without crossing the Spirit in any way. As Brother Branham said, your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your words do on earth. And so then when all these things come about, as I say this thing and the Spirit moves as to the mind of Christ and he sends his word as to his thoughts to cast out the unclean spirits, then you rise up by letting the Spirit get a hold of you. Like Brother Branham has said, here sits somebody over here and here's the Spirit working with this person over here, and all of a sudden as he goes to cast it out, this thing calls over here and you see a spirit over here, and they start linking themselves together to strengthen each other so that you can't cast them out. For it takes one to put 1,000 to flight and two to put 10,000 to flight. And the Bible said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then we find that these things are in the midst of the people. Even a great and mighty prophet as he was, yet in his services there sat those evil spirits. They came to present themselves. And in the days of Jesus, the great God of heaven and of earth, even in his services there sat those evil spirits. And they were there, and they rose up in his services and cried out, saying, Jesus of Nazareth, we know who thou art. What do we have to do with thee? I've had them to rise up in my service. I've had them to jump right up in the midst of the services and blurt right out. All right, let's sing together. Let's sing the little chorus we sing so often. I love you. I love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree, every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. So we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Right, while we sing this little chorus, there's room at the cross for you. Altars are open. Appreciate the card that I received this morning, and that, of course, having to do with the little pyramid. Truthfully, the stone that the builders rejected, the Bible said, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the work of the Lord. It's marvelous in our eyes. And he shall come crying grace, grace, grace. And so it is. We're living in the days of grace. And he hath given great and mighty grace. And the Bible said great grace was upon the people. So then he's living with us in the day of healing, in the day of salvation, in the day of forgiveness, in the day of love and concern. God's got compassion. This is the hour when the rain is even upon the unjust. So we sing about his grace and we sing about his love. How wonderful is his ways. They're past finding out. Let's sing the little chorus, right? So there's room at the cross for you. There is room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my wrong. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. It may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. And I need thee now, precious Savior, for oh, how I need thee. Don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus send to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your call on that eternal day. Listen to
the Savior. Let's hear His loving voice. Don't turn Him away. You love the Lord Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? Let's sing this little chorus, Frank. Give me a kiss. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first and then enough for me. Can you sing it? I claim Jesus first of all, and He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first and then to love for me. One more time. We claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when we call. Oh, we know that we're the children He set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first and that. One more time. We claim Jesus first of all. He all. For we know we are the children God set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. For we claim Jesus first in the heart. I know my God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first to man to love for me. Let's give Him a hand. And if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Can you sing with me? Though the way seems long and rough, together we can stand. For I know despite you've been going through, I've been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead. I can see the mountaintop. And when we stand upon the hill, you'll be so glad that you tried. For together we will shout the victory going down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry Can you sing that with me? And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through, down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little, can't you tell somebody if you've been down that road that you'd like to help them? And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead. I can see the mountain top. And when we stand upon the top, you'll be so glad to try. For together we can praise the Lord, shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you that helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. And I know just what you've been going through, then down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, one more time together. And if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you the helping hand. You know, I've been through a lot of things in my lifetime, and some of you have been through a lot of things. A lot of times when I'm preaching or when we're singing, I can by discernment reach out and take your spirit, and I can tell that it's really troubled, it's really tore up. Sometimes it's been going through some hard places and some fears, real fears that just tears your spirit all to pieces. And you're just cleaving, you're just reaching, you're struggling just to get one word of consolation and a helping hand to where you know that you can truthfully feel that you are a child of God and that the Lord is still with you. And when we sing these songs, it's true. We have been down these roads and we can help you. You know, if you'll give us a chance. All right, together again. So if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help to carry that load. And if I help you carry that load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead. I can see the mountain top. And when we stand upon the top, you'll be so glad that you tried. For together we will praise the Lord, shout down the other side. Isn't that wonderful? We can shout together. Together we can stand. Together we can stand. You can't stand by yourself, but together we can stand. And this is what we want to do, is unify an effort toward Christ, a brotherhood that's impenetrable, that cannot be broken, and one that people will not break in any form or fashion, but they'll stay right together. The Bible said, when I bring Zion again, they'll march hand in hand. They won't break ranks. They won't pierce each other through, but they'll march hand in hand and walk together. Right now they're all broken up, all kind of doctrines and ideology, but when God brings this great wonderful army of Joel, there won't be any broken links in it. There won't be any missing links. There won't be any schisms in the body, but we'll all walk as a great and mighty army in the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, let's sing another song or two. We're going to let you go. I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sun shine through. Seems I hear a voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow storm clouds to hide sweet heaven's view. Can you sing with me? You've got one more valley, one more view. You've got one more trial, friend, and here. One more turf in life's road. One more mile to go when you can lay down heavy load and you get home. Can you sing it? Don't let Satan see your tears. Try to smile through all your fears. Hold your head up high and give the spirit a smile. Faithful all the way, it'll be worth it all someday. For it's all gonna be over after a while. Sing with me. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one. Oh, sorrowful down here. One more curve in life's road. Just one more mile to go. And you can lay down your heavy load. Can you sing that with me? God, one more valley. One more sorrow, one more tear. One more curve in life's road. One more mile to go when I can lay down a heavy. Can you sing it one more time with me? And I know it's hot and uncomfortable, but let's sing. I've got one more valley, one more hill. One more sorrow, one more tear. One more curve in life's road. One more mile to go when you can lay down. One more time, we'll sing together. There is one more valley, one more hill. There is one more sorrow, one more tear. One more curve in life's road. Just one more mile to go. We can lay down the heavy load when we get home. Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes? I will praise you. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let's give Him glory, all the people. For the blood has washed away. Sing it again with me.
And I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give him glory, glory, peace. For his blood has washed away.
Once again now,
and I
ask Brother Larry Bullard if he'll come up and dismiss us.
Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
Can you sing it with me now?
And we'll give him glory, all ye people, though his blood has washed.
One more time together.
So I